Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots, off the post and home! William Carlson, long post and in for a power play goal!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet, Fox Sports Las Vegas studios, Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the... It's another off day in the Stanley Cup Final. Game 6 will not go until tomorrow, so we've got a little extra time and maybe a little bit of breathing room from the Stanley Cup Final. As good as the hockey has been, it's another must-win game for the Edmonton Oilers. It is another chance for the Florida Panthers to clinch their first ever Stanley Cup championship in franchise history. So we'll dig a little bit into Connor McDavid, the historic postseason that he is having, and how it compares to some other players' career playoff numbers. Because I found this fascinating. Like, when you look at some of the players that you would view in today's game as among the very best, their career numbers versus what McDavid's put up in this postseason, it'd be pretty surprising. So we're going to dig into that a little bit later on in the show. We're also going to take a look at some of the top unrestricted free agents going into free agency July 1st and what our expectations are for these players and where they're going to end up. We're talking about guys like Steven Stamkos, Sam Reinhart, Brandon Montour, Jake Guentzel. There's a lot of names and there's a lot of uncertainty as to where these players will end up. I have a feeling we're going to spend a lot of time on Stamkos. Because at various times this season, I didn't believe that Steven Stamkos would not be a Tampa Bay Lightning for the entirety of his career. But as we inch closer and closer and closer to July 1st, and there's still no deal for Steven Stamkos, and then you dig a little bit deeper into the Tampa Bay Lightning salary cap situation, unless Steven Stamkos is taking a severe hometown discount, I'm beginning to think that maybe, just maybe, he's somewhere else after July 1st. So we'll dig into that in hour number two. We've got one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Chris Chapman, I decided, considering the fact that we have an extra day between Game 5 and 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, that now would be a really good time to talk a little bit about the Vegas Golden Knights. It is the VGK Insider Show, after all, and we do have Vegas Golden Knights hockey on the horizon. The preseason schedule was released earlier today, so mark your calendars. The Golden Knights return to the ice in late September. It's a 6-game slate for the Golden Knights in the preseason this coming season. September 22nd at San Jose, September 25th versus Los Angeles, September 27th against Utah, and then October 1st at Colorado, October 3rd versus Colorado, and they round out the action on October 5th. Against the San Jose Sharks. So you've got San Jose a couple of times, Colorado a couple of times, LA and Utah. You know, it's weird, right? Because like the Stanley Cup Final is still going on. It's the little engine that could. It just will not stop for whatever reason. And yet here we are with preseason hockey already on the calendar. Number one, it feels like the season's going on way too late, but number two, as a Golden Knight fan, as most people that are listening to the show are, you have to feel excited about the fact that in just 3 months, the Golden Knights will be right back on the ice.
Yeah. I think certainly that's something that we inch a little bit closer to the Stanley Cup ending, but we now know that we're only what, 3 months? What is it? The 22nd is the first preseason game, I think. So
yes,
we're in 2 days, we're 3 months away. So, okay, that's 90 days, basically. So, yeah, I mean, you could already see the other side of the horizon. You could see the sun starting to rise, and you know that you're not that far away from, which means training camp is about a week before that when it opens up. And so in 3 months, we'll be watching the new or the 2024-25 rendition of the Golden Knights out there at City National Arena. So we're certainly – there's definitely some positives coming out of what we're seeing today.
Okay, so we've got the NHL Awards a week from today, and then a week from tomorrow, the draft takes place, round one, in the Sphere here in Las Vegas. That'll go Friday, Saturday, and then after that, you've got free agency opening up on that Monday. So then you've got, you know, quite a bit happening in the National Hockey League world over the next couple of weeks. And then once free agency opens, there will be a whole lot of nothing for quite a while. So it makes a lot of sense right now for us to kind of dig into what's on the horizon for not just the Vegas Golden Knights, but also the VGK Insider Show. For those of you that know and have been around for a while, there will be a hiatus for the VGK Insider Show. We are going to be on the air through July 3rd. That'll give us some time to really focus in on what's happened in free agency, what the Golden Knights are going to look like after free agency, dig into the draft a little bit, all of that. Now, next week, we will be off for the NHL Awards and also the first round of the draft, but we will be back with you the following week, as we mentioned, to talk free agency and just kind of send you off into summer. We will be back on the 16th. So September 16th is the return date for the show, and that'll lead you right into the first weekend of preseason games. So just kind of a little bit of housekeeping there when it comes to the show and what to expect over the course of the summer. Now, having said all of that, I did want to open it up to the text line, 702-876-1340. It's a mailbag of sorts when it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights. It's been a while since we've done it, and I want to just hear from you, the listeners of this program, as to what you want to know about Vegas, what you want to know about the Golden Knights, what you're hopeful in terms of finding out when it comes to this team over the next 2 weeks. Because I would imagine that a lot of the questions that you have as fans will be answered in some form or another based on free agency, based on the draft, and all of that. So where are you at right now? If you've got a burning question that you want answered as best we can here on the show as to what is going to happen with the Golden Knights over the next couple of weeks, over the summer, leading into next season, drop it in the text line, 702-876-1340. We've already got some submissions already. So Chris Chapman, I'm going to hand the keys over to you. Pick some of your favorites. We'll discuss them, and we'll do that for as long as we can.
Okay, so I'll start with this one from James, and I think we are going to discuss this a little bit later, so yeah. I want James to know that we will answer his question, but we're going to do it later in the show. And his question is, what is the future for Chandler Stephenson and the Vegas Golden Knights? Who's going to play on the 71 line next season? James, we got that covered. We will talk about that at what, hour number two? We're going to talk about that, Ryan?
No, we could talk about it right now.
Okay, so we could right now. Do you want to go first? Because I'm wondering if both of us have pretty similar opinion.
Okay, so the way that I'm going to approach this question from James is as pragmatically as I possibly can, and I'm not going to make assumptions as to who I believe may or may not be with the Vegas Golden Knights going into next season. So I'm going to answer this. I'm going to approach this simply based on who right now is under contract with this team. Okay. So in terms of forwards, you've got 11 to choose from. You've got Eichel, Stone, Hurdle, Carlson, Barbashev, Waugh, Howden, Kolesar, Brendan Brisson, you can throw in there. Paul Cotter, you can throw in there. Jonas Rombjerg, you can throw in there. I'm even going to throw Pavel Dorofeev in there because I don't expect that there's going to be a scenario where Dorofeev's not back with the Vegas Golden Knights. He's an RFA, a good young player that I think fits in and is ready for a bigger role. I'm not going to include Michael Amadio, Will Carrier, Anthony Mantha, Jonathan Marchessault, or Chandler Stephenson, just simply because those are UFAs and they don't have contracts at the moment, so I'm going to exclude them from this conversation. So right now, if you're looking at it, I'm gonna put Brendan Brisson as a placeholder for Jonathan Marchessault. If Marchessault ends up signing, I think we all realize it'd be Barbashev, Eichel, Marchessault as your top line. But in the event that Marchessault doesn't get signed, I'm just gonna throw Brendan Brisson into that spot for now. Second line, in my view right now, based on who you've got under contract, it'd be Dorofeev, Hertl, and Stone. I like the size of that trio. I like the way that Dorofeev was able to feed off of Hertl in the moments that they played together last season. I think that can be a big, heavy, below-the-goal-line type of line, and certainly one that can hold the puck and create plays from below the goal line. So that's what I like about them. Then you go to the third line, and here's kind of where I think the biggest shakeup would be for the Golden Knights is you've got Paul Cotter, who I think fills in a middle six role on this team and is ready to take another step in his development. You put him alongside William Karlsson, but here's where the tweak is. I think Nick Waugh moves up. I think the days of Nick Waugh as your fourth line center might just be over. And I guess you can kind of flip-flop Nick Waugh and Brett Howden in this spot if you want to, but I just think Waugh is going to need to take on more of an offensive role. And I think the best way to do that is to put him alongside William Karlsson. So the question specifically was, who do I see alongside Karlsson? It can be any combination of Dorofeev, Cotter, Waugh. Those are kind of the three guys that I envision it being. But I like the idea of Cotter, Karlsson, and Waugh. That line to me has a little bit of speed. They can hold on to the puck. They can make really smart plays. And then you've got defensive responsibility with Nick Waugh in that spot as well. And then your fourth line, just kind of rounding things out, I think Brett Howden can really take control and ownership as a fourth line center for the Vegas Golden Knights, alongside Keegan Kolesar and Jonas Rönnberg, who I believe, if you're looking at just the trajectory of Rönnberg and what he's been able to accomplish in his action in the National Hockey League, there isn't as much finish as you'd like from a fourth line player, but with Rönnberg, he can give you quality minutes, penalty killing. He can make the right play. He's a monster on the forecheck. I think that he has the ability to carve out a spot for himself on the fourth line, especially if William Carrier doesn't come back.
Yeah, I'll answer the first part of the question, which was about Chandler Stephenson. And unfortunately, I just don't see this team having a way to fit Chandler Stephenson under the salary cap. So I think Chandler Stephenson, unfortunately, is going to sign a contract somewhere else. I think he's going to get a pretty big jump in salary. He's earned that, and he's still at the age where he's probably worth that. So unfortunately, Chandler Stephenson, a guy who came here and did really well, so well, in fact, that he outplayed his contract. So I think he's probably not going to be on the team next season, which I know is disappointing, right? Because I think we all really like Chandler Stephenson. As far as who's going to play next to Karlsson, I'm going to be honest with you. I have no idea. Like, I don't know. I'll put this out there. I don't think Jonas Rönnberg has done enough to make me say he's going to earn a spot out of camp. So the question becomes, do they sign somebody in free agency to play alongside Karlsson? Because I think Paul Cotter is going to be your fourth line wing along with Keegan Kolesar. And I think you're right. You could interchange Brett Howden and Nick Waugh. I like the idea of Howden centering the fourth line and giving Nick Waugh that promotion to play up the lineup. But I think Cotter is your fourth line guy there, because I think he does a lot of the same stuff that William Carrier did, except I think he's got the ability to finish a little bit better than Carrier did. So it's going to be interesting to see, because we it's impossible to predict without knowing who's on the roster, but
sure,
my gut is they're going to sign somebody in free agency and that's who's going to play alongside William Karlsson.
Yeah, it's an interesting one in that I can absolutely see that happening, but what are you going to be able to get if you go down the Marchessault road, right? Like, because I think that that's going to be the biggest factor in what Vegas can do when it comes to free agency and addressing needs is if you put pen to paper with Jonathan Marchessault, how much money are you reasonably going to be able to spend in free agency? That's the big question. And, you know, I look at Marchessault and I look at a potential contract, and we've kind of had this discussion before, and I know that there were quite a few questions as to whether or not we've heard anything or we know anything when it comes to Marchessault and his contract. I'm going to be the first person to tell you, we don't know anything. Generally speaking, with the Golden Knights, everything is pretty close to the vest, right? Like, there's not a lot of leaks. There's not a lot of information that's readily available and out there. So for us, it's really all what we're kind of feeling and what our best guesses are. But in terms of anything concrete when it comes to contract negotiations with any of the UFAs with the Vegas Golden Knights, there's not a whole lot of information to be had at this moment. Now, when it comes to Marchessault, and we've had this conversation before, what's the term and what's the AAV? Right? Like, that's the big question, because I think for Marchessault, coming off of a 42-goal campaign, coming off of, you know, a two-year span where he wins a Conn Smythe and then sets that career number in goals, like, you're looking for a payday. And I don't think anyone's going to begrudge Jonathan Marchessault for looking for a payday either. Like, you've earned it. If there's ever a player that deserves to kind of cash in the moment, it would be him. But at the same time, the fit here is so good. The relationship with Bruce Cassidy has grown so much. And the pride that Marchessault has in being an original misfit in playing for the Vegas Golden Knights, is it enough to kind of knock the AAV down to a reasonable spot that the Golden Knights can make it happen and also address other needs if they so choose? That's the big question. Now, Marchessault made $5 million last year. That was his AAV. Can you conceivably see him signing 3 years at just a shade over $5 million? Potentially. Would he get more on the open market? Probably. But again, like, you've got to weigh and assess the fit and all those other things. So, like, when it comes to Marchessault, what's the term? What's the AAV? If you are willing to go longer term, can that drive the AAV to a spot where it was the same as it was last year or maybe even a little below it? I don't know. Like, would you have to go 4 or 5 years to make that happen? And then are you comfortable going 4 or 5 years in that spot? I don't know. But, I mean, reasonably, on a 3-year deal for Jonathan Marchessault, I think you're looking at the number starting with a 6. And that's just the question of, can you do it if you're the Golden Knights? If there's an organization that can figure it out, it's Vegas. But 3x6 is I feel like, the starting point. And you know, that's just kind of my read on it.
Yeah, I think I go back and forth on this, because I guess It really just depends on which way the wind is blowing that day, whether or not I think Jonathan Marchessault is going to be a member of this organization next year. I've seen stuff online that they are speaking, so that's good, if true. But I don't know if the how much the term he values as opposed to the dollars. And there's been indications from Marchessault himself that the most important thing for him is winning. Like, he doesn't play to lose the game. Like, he's not out there to have fun and just go through the motions. Like, he wants to win. So when I hear him say that and I look at potential places he could go, what is the likelihood that he's going to win if he goes there? So my gut feeling is they get something done. But I'm with you in terms of, if it's a 3-year deal, that number starts with a 6. And if that's the case, that pretty much eats up everything that they would be able to use in the under the salary cap for this year. So we'll have to see. I mean, we've got what, about 2 weeks before free agency starts. That's an eternity for them to get things done. But my gut says they do sign him. But take that for what it's worth, because I mean, my gut feeling is not always, actually, it's usually not very good. So, but you know, we got a couple more that I want to get to, and a couple people have asked, so I want to get this one out there. I'll paraphrase, because there've been multiple people who've asked rumors about Shea Theodore and potentially being traded. One of those such rumors has Logan Thompson and Shea Theodore going to Toronto for Mitch Marner. I can start with this one, and I can say any rumors that are out there about Shea Theodore or Logan Thompson being traded are not coming from Vegas. Like, that's a fact. Like, this team does not leak any information like that. So if that rumor is out there, it's probably coming from people who don't have an actual source within the Golden Knights. So I don't know how much I read into that. I do think it's possible that Shea Theodore could be moved. You know, you look at his contract. He's entering the last year of his deal. He's getting paid $5.25 million. They acquired Noah Hanifin last season and re-signed him to a long-term deal. So I could conceivably see a situation where he's moved. Do I think they're going to move him? Probably not. But I don't know. But what's your take on that?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I'm not, and this has been kind of a policy that I've had in a lot of different regards, but I'm not necessarily diving into rumors, because as you mentioned, they're just rumors. Like, until there's like a legitimate report from an insider, or it's firsthand knowledge or whatever the case may be, I'm not necessarily going to dive too deeply into it. Now, if you're thinking about Mitch Marner, just generally speaking, the only person that controls Mitch Marner's future is Mitch Marner, because he's got a full no move, right? So as much as you can kind of like twist yourself into giant pretzels thinking about all these different trade scenarios and trade rumors when it comes to that player particularly, the fact of the matter is, if Mitch Marner just decides that he doesn't want to do that, if he just decides that he wants to be a Maple Leaf and finish out his contract this season, then that's what he's going to do. And there's nothing the Leafs can do to change his mind. There's no leverage they can put on him to make him change his outlook. If Mitch Marner wants to be a Leaf next year, he's going to be a Leaf next year, regardless of what the packages out there may or may not be for him. Now, having said all that, when it comes to the Golden Knights, I think a lot of people expect there to be something we're not thinking about, right? Like, we're all sitting here concerned with the UFAs and the RFAs. Like, what does a contract look like for Chandler Stephenson? What does a contract look like for Jonathan Marchessault? Because those are in your face. It's hard not to look at those things. It's hard not to think about those things, because it's very clear. We know that those players aren't under contract, and that this team could use players like them on their team next year. Where I think a lot of people start to think about things a little bit bigger picture than just the immediate future is, we know where the Golden Knights are in terms of the salary cap. We know what the salary cap's going up to. We know what the number is that they can kind of play around with right now, and it just doesn't seem like enough. So there has to be something else. There's got to be another move in the mix that we are not thinking about. And when it comes to the Golden Knights, when you start to think about potential trades, the position of strength right now with this team is on the blue line. It's very simple. When you've got a defense core that has Alex Pietrangelo, Noah Hanifin, Shea Theodore, Braden McNabb, Zach Whitecloud, Nick Hague, Ben Hutton, that's seven guys under contract that can play as everyday NHL players. So when it comes to these trade rumors, it makes a lot of sense to me that you're going to attach defensemen first, and then you're going to flesh things out from there. But as far as this particular rumor, I don't think it has legs for all of the reasons that I just listed. And in terms of what I think the Golden Knights are going to do, if they're going to make a trade to open up cap space, I feel like that's possible, but I just don't know which player it may be. And I don't love to speculate when it comes to players moving, because I just don't think it's right and fair to those guys.
Yeah, I think that's the correct way to approach it. Now, some other people have asked, and I think it's maybe worth discussing. Hypothetically, none of the free agents are re-signed, so the Golden Knights will have to go out and sign players. Who are some of the guys that you could see this team maybe targeting in free agency?
That's a really interesting question, because I think that, you know, again, I don't look at the blue line as being a scenario for Vegas, right? Like, I think that this team right now is pretty well established on the back end. I don't think they need to add anything when it comes to the blue line. If there are no changes there, I think everything's good to go and solid. Now, up front, I think, is kind of the big question, right? I've kind of contended, and I mentioned this, I think, at the trade deadline this year. If you're looking at another middle six, bottom six type of center that is really defensively responsible, that you can have kind of play alongside William Karlsson, because that was one of the earlier questions, I like a guy like Alexander Wennberg. Like, he's not going to move the needle in terms of offensive production, but you put Wennberg on a line with Karlsson, and they can shut things down and be an incredible duo in that regard. So, like, that's a name that comes front of mind for me. I'm not looking for a big splash. I don't know that you need to go with a top six forward or anything like that, especially if you re-sign Jonathan Marchessault, but I like a guy like Alexander Wennberg. I really do, and I think that that could be something that really fills out this lineup on the bottom half of their forward core.
Yeah, I like Wennberg. That was a guy who I thought they could potentially be in the mix for at the trade deadline. Look, I don't think there would be a big splash in terms of who they signed. I don't foresee them going out there and getting the biggest name. Like, Jake Guentzel, I don't think is something that would happen. But I could see them theoretically going for an older player, maybe on a 1 or 2 year deal. Maybe someone like Jason Zucker. Or if they wanted to go a different direction, I'm a big fan of Daniel Sprong. Like, he's a young player, but he gives you some. He's not that young. He's 27, but you get middle six production from him. I think he's probably outplayed what he's making. I mean, he's currently making, I think, $2 million a year. So he's probably going to make a little bit more than that. I mean, like, I'm with you though. I don't see a huge splash in free agency, especially because I just don't think that this team really needs to go out and do that anymore, where they need to go out and get the biggest name on the market. That's not really how they do things. Like, they're not really that big splash and free agency team. They like to acquire players in different ways.
Now, I will say that, you know, there's just a couple of other players that I'm looking at right now that I think come front of mind. If you are looking for more goal scoring specific and you're not necessarily concerned with any other aspect of the game, a name like Tyler Toffoli makes a lot of sense. This kid, he's 32 years old. Tyler Toffoli scores goals. That's what he does. Like, if you want to insert a shooter on your power play, you want to, you know, put somebody in your middle six that can put the puck in the back of the net, Tyler Toffoli would be a good name to look at. And Victor Arvidsson. Like, it sounds like Victor Arvidsson is going to be moving on from Los Angeles. Doesn't seem like LA is kind of going back to that well with Arvidsson. There have been injury issues for him over the last couple of seasons in Los Angeles, but when he has been healthy and when he has played with LA, they have been a really good team, because he can drive offense. He's got a motor. I like the player a lot. So that's another one of those like middle six type of guys that, you know, maybe could play a little bit further up into your lineup and can certainly score and help you in a lot of different ways. So like I like Arvidsson, I like Toffoli, and I like Wennberg. Those are kind of three names that I just generally like. We'll see what ends up happening. Again, it all depends on what the Golden Knights are able to do with their own unrestricted free agents and what they feel they need to address in free agency moving forward.
Let me push back on that a little bit, because I'm sure there's people out there who would say, well, if you were going to sign Toffoli, who's in his mid-30s, or Arvidsson, who is on the other side of 30, why would you just not sign Marchessault?
I agree with that.
Okay.
Like, that's, I mean, the only reason would be that you could probably get Tyler Toffoli for less
cheaper
money than Jonathan Marchessault.
Yeah.
Right? You could probably get Victor Arvidsson for less money than you would get Jonathan Marchessault. And I think that's going to be the only counter argument to that is, okay, if you've got Marchessault at 33 at $6 million AAV, but you know what he brings to the table, why wouldn't you just do that? Well, what if you could get Tyler Toffoli, who can score 30 goals a year, for half the price?
Right.
Like, if you can get Toffoli for $3.5 million or even $4 million, then that frees you up to do more things. So, and again, this is all speculation. This isn't necessarily something I believe is going to happen. But the fact of the matter is, why would you do that? Because you could probably get those players for less money than it's going to cost you to re-sign Jonathan Marchessault.
And that makes all the sense in the world, because it gives you the ability to go out and sign someone else for your depth.
Yeah, exactly. It depends on what are you trying to accomplish here. Are you trying to spend all of your money on one player that you know fits really, really well? Or do you want to have more options on the table and bring in more players with that money that you have kind of allocated toward free agency? Like, those are the questions that need to be answered. But again, I think there's a couple of different ways to look at it. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with more of these mailbag questions next on the VGK Insider Show.
Here comes Carter Verhaeghe. Around to the far side through Tkachuk. Kicking it back to the line, and that pass broken up. Maybe a break. It's Connor Brown in alone. Looking for Shorty. Scores! Another short-handed goal, and the Oilers strike first tonight.
As well, he makes this play, and this is that top-down pressure, and that's a long side-to-side pass that then Brown. How about this patience? Outweighs Bobrovsky. He takes this thing all the way across, about 8 feet from one side to the other, lifts it up and over, and you want to talk about an impactful goal?
Interact with the guys on X. Follow them at Darren Millard and at Ryan the Hockey Guy. This is the VGK Insider Show.
VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Thursday. It's an off day in the Stanley Cup Final. I feel like there's probably more off days in the Stanley Cup Final than there actually are games in the Stanley Cup Final. But Game 6 will go tomorrow, 5 o'clock. And for the Edmonton Oilers, it's another must-win situation. For the Florida Panthers, I'd make the argument, and I did yesterday, that it is a must-win situation for them. But we will see what ends up happening, if the Stanley Cup will be awarded tomorrow night in Edmonton, or if we get to do this all over again on Monday in Game 7 in Sunrise, Florida. But for right now, we're going to stick with the VGK mailbag. I asked for questions. You guys have delivered. 702-876-1340. That's the text line number. If you have a burning question when it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights, what things are going to look like over the next couple of weeks into the off season, going into next year, we will do our best to answer them as we see fit. We've addressed kind of, you know, Jonathan Marchessault, some of the free agent type things. We've also dug into, you know, hypothetically what the team's going to look like on the ice, who's going to be playing with who going into next year, all of that stuff. But we do have more of your questions, so we're going to get to that right now. And if you have a question, but you haven't reached out just yet, drop it in the text line, 702-876-1340. We're going to answer these as long as we're getting new questions. So Chapman, I open it up to you. Where are we going next?
Okay, let's go to this one, because I feel like it's important. So it's from Peter, and he asks, could you give us a, quote, salary cap for dummies review? How does it work? How much is it? What is the current situation with the Golden Knights? He got into an argument yesterday with a guy at a bar telling him Robin Leonard's salary is counting against the cap. Even I know that's not true. So can you break it down for Peter and everyone else who may not quite understand how the salary cap works?
Yeah, I mean, I can do as best a job as I can. Salary cap for next year is going to be $88 million. So when it comes to your playing roster, your roster has to be under $88 million. It's just really that simple. Now, there are scenarios where teams are going to be over the salary cap because they have players that are on LTIR. You saw it last year with Robin Leonard, and obviously we kind of saw it at different stages with players that went on and off LTIR for the Golden Knights, most notably Mark Stone. And when a player goes to LTIR and they're not going to play for the remainder of the season, then you can reallocate that money to other players that can help you field a roster that is to the level of the salary cap. So $88 million is what you're looking at right now. Now, this all becomes way more difficult when Capitals Friendly becomes dark in just a couple of weeks, but right now Capitals Friendly is up and we have kind of the basis of understanding as to where the Golden Knights are right now. As it stands, the projected cap hit for the Golden Knights right now is about $86.8 million. That's what's out there on Cap Friendly, which gives them projected cap space in the ballpark of $1.2 million. Now, when you add in likely the $5 million of Robin Leonard's contract that we would expect to be on LTIR for the remainder of the year, that gives the Golden Knights right now about $6.2 million to play with in terms of free agency, re-signing players, all of that. So kind of an overall big overarching view, you can have a 23-man roster in the National Hockey League. That roster and its components cannot exceed $88 million, and that's basically the salary cap in a nutshell. There are signing bonuses that, you know, individual players have. That is a player-to-player, contract-to-contract thing. If the signing bonus is a larger amount than what their AAV is, it doesn't impact the AAV in any type of way. The AAV is quite literally the entire contract divided by the number of years of the contract. So I know we got a question about how does a signing bonus impact an average annual value. It's already factored in because it's part of the totality of the contract, just averaged out over each year. So you have a lot of different scenarios where players are making like $2 million in quote salary, but their AAV is $6.5 million because they had front-loaded bonuses and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully that helps. I don't know that we need to go too much further into the weeds on it. Just know that based on the numbers right now and potential LTIR candidates, that $5 million of Robin Leonard's contract, the Golden Knights are somewhere in the ballpark of $6.2 million in terms of what they can use toward UFAs and certainly free agents in free agency.
Well done. I don't think I can add anything to that.
Okay, cool.
This is interesting because I think it's more of a general hockey question as opposed to a Golden Knights question. But It's from Teresa, and she wants to know two things. What constitutes a second or more faceoff? I'm assuming she means what determines whether or not the faceoff is good or not. And Changing players. And then what is the conversation between players and referees in faceoffs?
So I would guess, and again, I'm not on the ice and can't hear what the conversations are, but the conversations I would imagine between players and linesmen when it comes to faceoffs is drop the puck. Honestly, just drop the puck. Now, there's a couple of things I think that factor into false faceoffs. Some of it has to do with the center icemen. Some of it has to do with their line mates and encroaching on the circle. Essentially, you are supposed to be set all three across. Like, there shouldn't be movement when it comes to the faceoff. Otherwise, you're going to have a linesman that's going to see that, and he's not going to drop the puck because you're not allowed to have an unfair advantage when it comes to winning a faceoff. And if you've got your right winger or your left winger encroaching on the circle over the opposition's side of things, then you might be able to win back that puck unfairly, and that would be an aspect of it. Now, the other thing when it comes to center icemen is defensively, you have to get your stick down first. Now, the other team can use some momentum, and it really depends on whether or not you're kind of playing to what that linesman wants to see in terms of being set for the faceoff. So sometimes it makes no sense. There doesn't seem to be, or at least feel like to me, there's a rhyme or a reason. And then other times you're just going to drop the puck and, you know, everything's fine. So I think it's really kind of minutia when it comes to individual linesmen, their preferences and what they want to see. But just know that usually when you get a secondary faceoff, or you have a false faceoff, or you don't have a scenario where the linesman drops the puck, it's usually because one team isn't set in their positioning the way that they need to for the faceoff to go off.
Yeah, it's always one of those things where I think fans get frustrated, and sometimes they may not always understand all the ins and outs of a faceoff, but complicated a little bit, but it makes sense. So this comes from Mike, and I think you and I are going to have pretty similar takes on this, but He wants to know, how do the Golden Knights position themselves to dominate in the playoffs? They get there almost every year.
Okay, so this is an interesting one because we're only 12 months removed from them dominating in the playoffs, right? So I think number one, we should acknowledge, and I'm sure Mike would agree with this, we should acknowledge that the Golden Knights have done it before. So once you've done it before, I think it becomes a little bit easier to understand what you need to do it again. And I'd also make the argument that if Vegas gets by Dallas, I think that they are on another deep run. Now, how do you position yourself to dominate in the playoffs? I think, one, you finish as high as you can in the standings. Now, that doesn't mean you got to go out and win your division, but it does mean that you've got to be in a position where you could at least get home ice advantage and maybe take advantage of a favorable matchup early in the postseason. Secondarily to that, you got to finish off series when you have an opportunity to do so. I think one of the things that really stood out about the Golden Knights when they won the Stanley Cup is that They beat Winnipeg in five, they beat Edmonton in six, they beat Dallas in six, and they beat Florida in five. Like, in terms of actual games played, not facing elimination, not having that stress, ending the series every time they had a chance to end the series outside of Dallas, like, I think that you've got to finish, or you have to finish at least one or two series early, and I think you've got to position yourself to have either home ice advantage or a favorable matchup early on in the playoffs. Those are things that really, really do matter. And then at the end of the day, you have to be healthy. Like, you have to be healthy in the regular season. You have to have those moments where you can kind of take breathers in the regular season, but you have to be healthy throughout the playoffs. If you're not healthy throughout the playoffs, it becomes really difficult to win.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he meant like year in, year out, in which to that I would say it's very, very difficult to dominate anything in the NHL on a year-in, year-out basis. So I'm not sure if that was what Mike was asking, how they dominate year-in, year-out, but I just don't think it can be done. Like, I think the league is set up to where they don't want that to happen, and it generally doesn't happen. Like, you're not going to see a four-in-a-row dynasty like you did with the Islanders back in the early, early 80s.
Yeah, I don't think you are. I mean, the closest we got was Tampa, and I wouldn't necessarily consider Tampa dominant. Like, they had some wars they had to get through. It was attrition for sure, but it wasn't a scenario where Tampa was just running roughshod through the playoffs. They had to dig deep and earn some of those victories in those series. And, you know, I think that you just have to recognize it's a grind, it's hard, and you're not going to be able to just skate through the playoffs without really being tested. That's not what the NHL playoffs is all about. And the Golden Knights were dominant in their run to the Stanley Cup. And I think the only thing that you have to look at here in this scenario, if you're a Vegas fan, is they rest up and they get themselves back to that level. And hopefully they can run it back and do it again. We're going to take a break. Set up hour number two of the VGK Insider Show next. Chappie, that was fantastic. Well done.
Paul Maurice is never a dull... He never gives a dull answer to a question. We'll put it that way.
No, it is always... there's always something with Paul Maurice. There's always a good soundbite, a funny, memeable situation, but you doubling down on it. Paul Maurice obviously making note of the fact that he's being fed really well in the Stanley Cup final. And then you roll into Weird Al. Like, well done, buddy. That is a high watermark in terms of production for you.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever played Weird Al on the show. That's got to be a first.
First time for everything.
Yeah,
first
I
time
like
for
Weird
everything.
Al too.
All right, hour number two. We are going to get to a couple more questions from the mailbag. If you have any, send them in, 702-876-1340. That's coming up next on the VGK Insider Show.